know.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been up here. Kind of out of practice. Appreciate y'all being here today. David asked me, called me one night this week and asked me if I'd fill in for him. I told him I would. Before I get into the lesson today, I do some more. See, I appreciate you, man. Oh, man, I forgot to put this in. Is it done gone? That's all right. I'll put it in the regular offering. Appreciate you, man, in this Sunday school class, and I really do. I appreciate each and every one of you. And when David asked me to teach this morning, of course, you know, you start praying about what God would have you to teach on. And I'm going to teach on trusting in God. And I'm going to teach on that, but when I got up this morning, and the Holy Spirit said, why don't you teach on totally trusting in God? See, there's a difference in trusting God and totally trusting God. Amen. And so that's what I want to teach on this morning, totally trusting in God. If you would, take your Bibles and open them up to Proverbs chapter 3. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. It's kind of a starting off place. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he might direct thy paths. Okay, I was waiting on somebody to say something. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I could spend a whole morning here just that right there. That's just sort of a starting place in the lesson today. But let's look at it quickly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you ever stopped and thought about that, how can you trust the Lord with all your heart? If you can trust the Lord with all your heart, son, you've got to be trusting him totally. If you're not trusting him totally, you ain't trusting him with all your heart. And totally means in every situation, all the time, no matter what. Amen. Now, you're probably saying, well, you, Melvin, I'll probably fail him some, too. But I try not to. But I try to trust him in everything that happens in my life. Amen. Because he knows what he's doing. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not in thine own understanding. How many times, don't raise your hands, how many times have we questioned God? Well, I don't understand this. He didn't say understand it. He said, trust me. So whether we understand him or not, he said, trust him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's that word all again. It means, how many of them? All. All thy ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct our paths. So totally trusting in God, we want to look at that today. The first thing that I want to do, we'll go to Psalms 2. Yeah, second Psalm. We're going to be in Psalms quite a bit today also. Psalms chapter 2. And look at verse number 12. Yeah, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now this scripture here, the psalmist said, David said, blessed is the man that trusts in him, that put their trust in the Lord. He didn't have to say, blessed is the man that trusts in, he just said, trust in the Lord, but blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. So as we think about these things, the first thing I want to do today, we're going to look, first of all, before we get into trusting God, We're going to look at some things that you... What does that word mean anyway? Trust. It means to put your confidence in or have faith in. If you've got confidence in somebody, you can trust them, considering they're humans. I'm saying that. If you've got faith in somebody, you can trust them. So that's what we're looking at today when we're talking about trusting in God totally. Put your confidence in God totally and your faith in God totally. Not just when we want to, or not just when we think we need to, no matter what the situation. You're probably looking at me saying, well, do you do it? No, I probably fail him too. I try not to. So, the first thing we're going to look at today is what to not put confidence in. There's some things you can't put confidence in. And we're going to look at some of those there today. First of all, we can't put confidence in weapons. We can't put confidence in weapons. Psalms 44. You know, well, we got the nuclear bomb and all this, and we got this and that and the other. It don't make no difference. You can't put confidence in weapons. Weapons of any kind. Psalms 44, and look at verse number 1. And we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work that thou didst in their days and in times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand, and planted them how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land of possession of their own sword, neither did they own arm save them. But by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, and because thou hast favor unto them. So we find here in these scriptures, first thing I want to look at is, I'm going to hit it quick, and there's a lot I can say about all this, but I'm going to have to skip over a lot. Oh God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days. Who did it? God did it. Man didn't do it. God did it. Verse 2, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand. Who did it? God did it. You can put confidence in God. You can't trust weapons of war. Then he goes on, verse 3, and says, that for they got not the possession of their own soul by the sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast the favor unto them. So God did it. You got to put confidence in God. You can't put confidence in weapons of war. Now, you know, we've got the atomic bomb. We got all kind of stuff. We can send air-to-air missiles here and there and hit a target 5 million miles away and hit it right on. Hey, they can do all that stuff. People say, well, we got missiles. We can do this. We can trust. No, you can't. We can't trust weapons of war. I don't care how powerful a country is. They can't control what's going on. You can't trust weapons. Now, these are some things that we can't trust to put confidence in, and one of them is weapons. I don't care how sophisticated they get. I don't care how powerful they are. You can't trust weapons. Not totally. Not only that, but you can't trust wealth. Look at Psalms 49. You can't trust wealth. A lot of people run around here today and say, well, boy, I got $750,000 in the bank. Boy, I'm ready to go. I got $500,000 in stocks in this country over here, and boy, it's just shooting to the top. They trust in that, son. You better watch it because they're fixing to fall. It's useless. So you can't trust wealth. Psalms 49, look at verse number 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. Wealth ain't going to get it. And don't get me wrong. If God's blessed somebody and they're wealthy, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying wealth is not what we can put confidence in. People say, well, it don't matter what happens to me. I got plenty of money, but I can pay my way out of this. And you got lawyers in here that right now in Rowan County, that if somebody commits a crime, they got enough money, they can get them out of them in most cases. But you can't depend on that. You cannot depend on finances. You cannot depend on wealth. You can't do it. And then what about leaders? Oh, boy, we got some good leaders. What about leaders? Look at Psalms 146. And boy, there's a lot I'd like to say about all this, but I just want to hit the highlights. Yeah, leaders, Psalms 146. Can't depend on leaders. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And while I live, I will praise thee, Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, whom there is no help. You can't put your confidence in leaders. I don't care whether, I don't care who, they may be some of the best people, they may be good leaders. I'm not getting into politics and stirring up nothing like that. But as far as I know, I believe the president we got in there right now is the best there is, and what we had to look at. And he claims he got saved and trusted Jesus Christ his Savior. And if he did, he's the man needs to be in there, if for no other reason. And he may do a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you this. Anything he does that's right, that helps, God done it. He don't do it. Amen. He does it. He don't do nothing that God don't allow him to do. And I hope and pray to God he turns out to be good. We find here in these scriptures, the Bible said, you can't trust man. You can't trust leaders. You can't trust man. Why? Because they're men. That's why he said here, you can't trust them because they're men. Let's look at verse 3 again. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. So again, we can't trust leaders. And we might have some good ones, buddy, we can't trust them. Number one, they make mistakes. God don't make mistakes. They do. And number two, you never know their flesh. And you never know what flesh is going to do. So you can't trust leaders either. Looking kind of bad, ain't it? You can't trust man. You can't trust man. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. You can't trust man. Jeremiah chapter 17. And look at verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah says here in verse number 5, thus saith the Lord. It ain't something Jeremiah said. It's something God said. It was pinned down. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now I'm going to tell you something, son. That's a pretty strong statement right there. And I didn't say it. God said it. That's what God said. But you know, you can't trust man. Man will let you down. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and makes the arm of his flesh, and whose heart departs from the Lord. So we can't trust man. Now don't raise your hand. But I guarantee you, everybody in here today, somebody's let you down. Somebody might have let you down this week. When I'll be there for it. I'm talking about brothers in Christ. I'm talking about brothers in Christ too. Well, yeah, I'll be there for you. You can count on me. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, you can't trust man. And we got some good men in this church. There's some good people. You can't trust man. Why? Stuff right here is nasty flesh. This flesh will let us down. So I just put some pretty strong stuff there coming from the Lord. And he said what he did. So he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So we can't trust man. There's no way. Now there's some men that I would trust. And there's some men in this church, in here I'd trust. God said, don't put your trust in man. Not totally. So you can't trust man. And then not only that, but you can't trust works. You can't trust works. Look at Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah 48. And of course, we all know about what works is. Jeremiah chapter 48. Can't trust with Jeremiah 48. Look at verse number 7. Yeah. For because thou hast trusted in thy works. Now, let me sort of give you an overview here. This chapter right here is dealing with different areas of how God's judging. And He judged Philistia and so forth. And this is when He's judging Moab. And so, verse 7. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken, and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with the priest and the princes together. So what did he say? He said, and because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken. You got a lot of people today, you know what they're trusting in? They're trusting in their pleasures. They're trusting in their what they've got. We can't trust in what we got. God, take it out, snap a finger. We can't trust what we've got. So we can't trust in riches. We can't trust in things that we do. Works. We can't trust that. Well, I do a pretty good job there. I do this and that. Well, great, but we can't trust in that. It's what God said. He said, because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken. So we can't trust our works, and we can't trust in what we do. We can't do it. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. There's a lot I'd like to say here. I don't have time to really dwell on all of it. I want to hit the highlights. Titus chapter 3. And look at verse number 1. Titus 3 and verse number 1. I'm going to read a few more verses than what I normally have been reading. And Titus 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to own the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness in all men. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and every hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of love of God our Savior toward man. Now look at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by our washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Works. We can't trust in works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You heard this before? I've heard it before. And well, I done this and I do that, and I accomplish this, and I accomplish that, and you've heard people say, I know you've heard it, talking to people about their salvation. Well, I've done the best I can, and if He won't take that, then I'll just have to go to hell. Have you ever heard that? I've been told that. Well, I've done the best I could, and if God don't accept that, then I'll just have to go to hell. Well, they will. If they're depending on their righteousness and their works, you can do everything you want to do 26 hours a day for the Lord, and everything you think you can do, and you ain't going, and you know this, you men know this, but there's a lot of people out here, they people in churches that think they can work their way to heaven. I hear it all the time, and you do too. Well, the best I can do, God will take me in because I love Him. The best I can do, He'll take that. No, He won't. He wants first. And our works are not going to get us to heaven. And you men in here know that. We've got friends, we've got relatives, we've got neighbors, and we've got people we've worked with before. They think they can work their way to heaven. by work. They think they can get there by good works. And they believe it. They ain't going to get it. That's what he said here, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy as he saved us. So works can't depend on works either. Not only that, look at Titus chapter, look at Ephesians chapter 2. These are all familiar scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of what? Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And like I said, you got people out here, and I'm not being critical of them. They don't know. I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I didn't know the difference. I didn't even know what doing works were. And those people don't. You got people, some of you men probably work with people, work around people that think that they do the best they can, they're going to heaven. Well, the best we can do is not going to get it. And we find here, and you men have seen this scripture, read it before, heard it before, preached on and taught, and it's not by works of righteousness we have done, according to his mercy. So there's a lot of people out here that think they're going to get to heaven by their works. You know what God said? Our works are as filthy rags in his sight. And a lot of people that do things for works are doing them for their own glory. And if you're not doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know where it comes from? Our heart. How the heart flow the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's where it's at. And you know, I'm not being critical. People do a lot of things for a lot of different reasons, but if it don't come from the heart, it's useless as far as treasures in heaven. The heart. And then what about our own righteousness? Well, I just went over this again, and I'm going to pin it down one scripture. What about our own righteousness? Go back over to Titus. Chapter 3. And I won't read this again. I read it a while ago. But narrow it down, our own righteousness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So I say again, it's not by works anybody, and it's not by works of righteousness. All we do that may be righteous in his eyes, or may be righteous in how we see it, or maybe righteous according to the Bible, it ain't our righteousness. It's his. It's Jesus Christ's righteousness. Amen. The perfect Savior, the perfect Lamb, the perfect God, the perfect Creator. Jesus, the perfect one. Amen. So it's him and not our righteousness. Now with these things in mind, we'll look at a couple other things too. You can't put confidence in some things that you can put confidence in. And we're going to look at an area now on the flip side of this thing about some things that you can put confidence in. First of all, you can put confidence in God's name. Psalms 33. Here's Psalms 33. You can put confidence in God's name. Psalms 33. Look at verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let's park there for just a minute. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul You know what's a soul? That's our inner being. That's what we are. Our soul. Upon them that hope in His mercy. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Now boy, there's a lot right there in verse number 21. According to trusting in His holy name. Trusted in who? His what? Holy name. Jesus. That's what you can put your trust in. When we got saved, every once when we got saved, what would we put our trust in? The words we said? No. You can sit down and say all kind of words you want to. And the sinner's prayer don't save you. What saves you is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your heart. So, as we think about this scripture right here, it's what Jesus did for us. What He did for us. Trusting in His holy name. The name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So, the name is above every name. Bible said, sirs, we would see Jesus. All the eyes in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. Who were they thronging? Jesus. They wanted to get to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name we know. It's Him. That's who it is. It's Jesus. His name. That's the name of Jesus, the lame walk. That's the name of Jesus, the blind see. That's the name of Jesus, the crippled get up and throw their crutches off and walk. That's the name of Jesus, sins were forgiven. It's Jesus. In His name. And I could get into this, I'm not going to hit on it much, but it's sad that these people are trusting in Buddha and Muhammad and all these other fictitious people. It's sad. They're trusting in that name. I don't see nowhere in my Bible says in the name of Buddha. I don't see nowhere in my Bible says in the name of Muhammad. I ain't talking about Muhammad Ali either. Huh? No, it's the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, most knees will bow. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. They ain't going to bow to no false gods. A lot of these gods they had in the Old Testament, they don't bow to them. The name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. And then what about His Word? Look at Psalms 119. These are things now you can put your trust and confidence in. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and look at verse number 42. Look at 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. That's what Psalmist said here. So shall I wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. It's 1611 King James Bible. That's what you can trust in. You can't trust what people say if it don't line up with this book. You can't trust what preachers preach if it don't line up with just God's Word. It's God's Word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces the asunder, dividing the soul and spirit, even the joints and marrow. Boy, that's getting down there, ain't it? That's getting down to everything where this Word pierces. This Word is powerful. This Word is mighty. This Word is godly. This Word is revered. The Word of God. The blessed Word. This Word is to be read. I say, we. Ain't none of my business. I'm saying we. There ought to be a time in our life every day we get in this blessed book. You know why a lot of people don't read the Bibles? A lot of times they don't read the Bible. They don't even know where it's at. Honey, have you seen my Bible? No, where'd you have it last? I don't know. I had it at church. I'm not being critical. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But I'm saying it's God's Word. Well, where did I don't even steal in the car. Son, we need to get in this thing every day. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being critical. I'm saying what it said, God's Word. That's why he said we can put confidence and trust in God's Word. And that's why it said what it did in verse 42. For I shall trust in thy Word. Now, if you don't trust anything, you need to trust in God's Word. Trust in His Word. And again, I say, you can trust in His Word and put confidence in that. And then not only that, but you can trust Christ. Trust Christ. In Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 17. Matthew chapter 12, verse 17. I'll read. Let me start out in verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. I like that word all. He healed them all. Now, sometimes you'll see that word in the Bible, when it says all, depending on how it's used, it may not mean all. Great multitude followed him, he healed them all. He healed every one of them, all of them that were there at that particular time. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment to victory. And his name shall the Gentiles trust. Don't raise your hand. So this is a stupid question you're going to ask. Hey, what do we trust? What name are we trusting in? Jesus, the name that's above every name. We can put constant trust in His name. Because His name won't fail you. Back in the New Testament, cast out a lot of demons and a lot of devils and different things in the Word of God. He used the disciples to do it, and some of the men used Paul to do a lot of it. And what'd you say? In the name of Paul, in the name of Luke, in the name of Mark, in the name of Josiah, command you to come out. In the name of Jesus. When they said in the name of Jesus, the devils left, the demons left. They were made whole. They could see. They could walk. They could talk. They could hear. They could function. Why? In the name of Jesus. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. We can trust that name. We can put confidence in the name of Jesus. You ever stop and thought about, you know, people pray, they'll say, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Or ask these things in Jesus' precious name. If you ain't praying in Jesus' name, son, you might as well not pray. God said, you pray in Jesus' name, and you'll get your prayers through. Now, I'm not going to tell you that every time you ask for something, you're going to get it because you say in Jesus' name, but God will hear it. That name's above every name. You can put confidence in that name. Some people say, well, you know, I get kind of embarrassed talking about him from some people. Ought not to. Well, I'm not getting embarrassed to talk about lost people in front of Jesus. And I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. And you probably know, I've been around people before, and you probably have too, where they want to use that name as a crutch to exalt them or build them up like they know. No, I'm talking about when Jesus gets the glory. In Jesus' name. That's what it is. You can put confidence in that name. You can't put confidence in no man's name. I don't care who he is, what he is, how he is, or what status he has. But Jesus' name you can put confidence in. Yeah. Now we're going to look at a few of the benefits before time runs out. What are some of the benefits that we're looking at today in totally trusting in God? Look at Psalms 5. Fifth Psalm. Benefits. Trusting in God. Psalms 5. Verse number 11. Here. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. What is that? That's deliverance. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defended them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So the first thing we'll look at is deliverance. But let all those that put their what? Trust. Total trust. Not once in a while, but total trust in thee. And if we do that, what's going to happen? He said, rejoice. And let let them ever shout for joy. What is that? That's deliverance. Boy, I know one thing. Praise God, and he saved me. Boy, I shouted for deliverance. I did. I might not shout it out loud in the church, but in my heart was shouting for deliverance. He delivered me from the devil. And defended me and let them love thy name. So we see here deliverance. For joy. We see joy. Look at Psalms 22 and verse number 4. Yeah, Psalms 22. So we see there, Psalms 22 and verse number 4. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of Israel. Psalms 22 and verse 4, we see verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. So we found joy in 5:11 as a benefit and deliverance in this scripture. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They trusted in him. Hey, that's why that's one of the benefits, is trusting him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Not sometime, not most of the time, not a lot of time, not a bunch of time, but all the time. Deliverance. Benefits and deliverance. Boy, here's one, God's goodness. Psalms 31. Yeah, God's goodness. Yeah, Psalms 31. Look at verse number 19. Psalms 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. I want you to notice how Psalmist started this thing out. Oh, how great is thy goodness. He didn't say, how good is thy goodness. He said, how great is thy goodness. Which thou hast laid up for them that... Now watch it. Here's the catch. For them that fear him. Which thou hast brought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So we find here God's goodness. But I want you to notice what he said. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear him. See, there's a stipulation there for them that fear him. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So see, you gotta look at these things in the context. You gotta look at all of this. But I'm saying God's mercy. And then God's provisions. Look at Psalms 37, and I'm almost through. I think the bell's rung. Psalms 37. Verse number 3. His provision. You know, trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know who supplies our food? God does. Like what he done with Elijah, boy, he sent ravens by it every day. And boy, Elijah had a big old meal every day, ravens dropping it by, bread and flesh. God fed him. God fed the children of Israel, millions of them in the desert when there wasn't nothing there. He fed them. I'm going to tell you today, son, he'll feed us. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed. I'll have to stand here and say today, I ain't never gone without eating since I've been saved. Never. Provision. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What is that? That's totally trusting in him. For our needs, our necessities, our food, whatever it is, totally trusting him. You might be thinking, well, I've had some bills before. I didn't know what I was going to do about it, and the money wasn't there. Totally trusting in him. He knows what he's doing. He'll take care of it. He'll make the situation work out regardless of whether. And it's not in our time frame. It's not in our time schedule. It's in his. He may be trying to teach us something. Patience. Patience ain't one thing. One thing I ain't too keen on. And most people aren't. So we see here his goodness and his mercy. And in his provision. Look at verse number 25, the same psalm. I have been old, David said, I have been young, and now I'm old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm going to tell you something, son. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. Has the bell rung? Okay. David said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Who? The righteous forsaken, his children, nor his seed begging bread. He's going to meet our needs. And then I'll close with this. Guidance. Proverbs chapter 3. And we just read that a while ago, and I'll hit on it quickly. Guidance. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Now, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll direct them. Psalms 48, I'm through. Here, Psalms 48. Here, Psalms 48, look at verse number 14. Psalms 48, verse number 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. What did he say? He's our guide even unto death. Until the day that we take our last breath, he's our guide even to that. Guidance. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for these men. I pray you bless them. Pray, Heavenly Father, you bless their families. And God, I pray power to preach on the preacher. He preached the Word of God. And I thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.